This is Bruce Collins, your host for the Bible Studies program. And again, greetings and welcome to our lesson today. We're glad you've tuned us in. Now again, if you would like to re-listen to this program, you can do so on my website, and I'll give you that address at the close of the program. You can contact me through the website with comments or prayer requests, and you can contact me by regular mail as well, and I'll give you that address too at the close of the program. Now today is the first day of a new year, and the calendar says we're now going to be in 2017, and it wasn't that long ago that we were looking at the changeover from 1999 to 2000, wondering what Y2K would bring, and now we're 16 full years into the new year. And as we flip our calendars from 2016 to 2017, it's always sort of arbitrary because our calendars are somewhat arbitrary as to when they start and when they finish. Different cultures have had different calendars, but nevertheless, because of our culture and because of our society, we're used to the calendar that we use, and January 1 is always a time of hope and a time when people take inventory of their lives. In some cases, we look back over the past year and we are just glad it's over. But nevertheless, as we look forward to the new year, most of us look forward to it with a certain amount of hope. And I know that there are some of you who are discouraged today, perhaps because of sickness, perhaps because of recent bereavements, perhaps because of financial problems. And yet, there's a sense in which when you turn over the calendar, you turn over a new leaf. And I just trust that if you're discouraged today, that in some small measure, I can encourage you. I know that one thing I can reassure you of is the fact that God does love you. You've just come through Christmas season, and you've just likely given gifts to friends and children and grandchildren. And you, as you've given those gifts, you've, in some measure, tried to remember the fact that the Lord Jesus is the reason for the season. As I said last time, I hope you didn't spend all your time at the manger, and that, in fact, you did get to the cross. And I hope you remembered that God is a giving God. And while the Old Testament sometimes makes God seem like He was an angry God, not angry because He wanted to be angry, but angry because the people He had chosen to represent Him on earth had sinned and sinned and sinned again. And even though you see that His righteous anger in the Old Testament, as we come to the New Testament, one thing we are reminded of is His love. Now, that love was seen in the Old Testament as well. We know that when we look at God in the Old Testament, He loved Israel, and He loved the people of Israel, and He loved them so much He wouldn't allow them to depart from Him without consequences. And we know that discipline is a part of love. But nevertheless, as we come to the New Testament, God is a giving God, as I've said, and He has given His only begotten Son. And I hope that we didn't forget that the greatest gift of all is the gift of eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life." Now that's a great love and a great gift. And in Romans 6:23 we read, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." And so we have been reminded of gift giving, but the greatest gifts came from God Himself. "Every good gift and every perfect gift cometh down from above, from the Father of lights, in whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning." And so I hope we are well aware today that the greatest gift of all was the gift of God's Son. And the greatest possession that we can have is eternal life through the Son that was given. And I just trust that we have meditated on these things and are clear in our minds that we, in fact, are children of God, and that we have, in fact, trusted in the Lord and have eternal life. Now, when we come to this new year, we, as I said, we often take inventory and we think of the fact that we want to start over. And we need to be reminded that one thing we need, as I've already said, is a new life in Christ. If we don't have it, we need it. The children of Israel started their calendar over when they were redeemed out of Egypt. The Lord had told them, "This day will be unto you the beginning of months." And so they started over. And when we trust in the Lord Jesus, it gives us a new life. And that new life is presented to us as a new birth. 1 Peter 1:23 says, Peter says there, "Having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible through the word of God, which lives and abides forever." And so that new life is presented to us as the life of a newborn baby, and that always seems to bring the parents joy, particularly when the baby arrives healthy. And when we think of all the things that lay before that baby, the prospects of the new life that that baby has, and I realize that some babies are being born in terrible circumstances today and they don't have those prospects, but here in the United States, a new birth is a time of great joy. And when we're born again, it's a time of great joy. Our burdens are gone. Our sin is forgiven. We change masters. We change from the master of Satan and sin to the master of Christ and righteousness. And we worship him. And that's why the Bible says, "Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved." Because that's one of the ways of describing the way we worship the Lord. That's not just a one-time a prayer where we sign our name on a dotted line and repeat rote words. That's saying that now we pray to God and expect answers to our prayers, and we pray to him and worship him. And that's Romans chapter 10 that I'm quoting. "Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. How shall they call on him in whom they have not believed?" This is all new. And many times when people are first saved, they don't understand what they have in Christ, because it's a new beginning. It's a wonderful thing. And I hope that as we go into this new year, you understand that new birth. But sometimes this new life in Christ is presented to us as a resurrected life, as being raised from the dead, because when we are born the first time, we're given physical life, but we're born in sin, and we are born sinners. And as far as God is concerned, we are separated from him, and he calls that spiritual death. And when we are saved, when we come to trust the Christ, we are spiritually raised from the dead. That's what John 5:24 brings before us. "Most assuredly, I say to you, he who hears my word and believes in him who sent me has everlasting life and shall not come into judgment, but has passed from death unto life." In this last year, I saw a lot of people I knew pass from life unto death. I frankly never saw in a physical way anyone pass from death unto life. I'll tell you, I would have remembered that if somebody had sat up in their casket or in their hospital bed after the doctor had said they had expired and they had gotten renewed life and new vigor and had new color in their cheeks and began to breathe again. I would remember that. And so John is using a picture that we would obviously remember, a picture that would obviously speak to us when he says we've passed from death unto life. I realize there's a physical resurrection awaiting us, but there's a spiritual resurrection for everyone who comes to know the Lord, because the Lord is the way, the truth, and the life. And when we have him, we have life. We have spiritual vigor and understanding. And we have a spiritual desire to do spiritual things. And so this new year needs to have new life if you don't already have it. And if you have it, it's a time for thanksgiving that you are fortunate enough to have a Bible in your hands that you can read and that will reassure you of these simple truths. A Christian is not born a Christian by his first birth. A Christian is born a Christian by his second birth. And that's when a person is old enough to repent and believe the gospel. And fortunately for many children, that's quite a young age. But nevertheless, we have to be old enough to understand our sin and understand our need of the Lord Jesus in order for us to understand the blessing of the cross where Christ died for our sins. Now, not only should we be thankful today for new birth, and not only should we be thankful today for a new life by resurrection, but we should be thankful today that if you've been saved for a while and you feel like you've failed God, there's always the second chance. We've looked at Jonah. Jonah fled from the presence of God, and he went down into a ship, and he ended up being cast into the sea, and a great fish swallowed him up. But after he'd gone through that experience, and the great fish had vomit him out on dry ground, the word of the Lord came to Jonah the second time, saying, "Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and preach to it the message that I tell you." And my God is a merciful God. He's a God of the second chance. He's the God who restored Peter after Peter had denied him. In Mark chapter 16, Peter was told that he would be the one that would, thou art Peter, and upon this rock that is this truth that you have confessed, I will build my church. He was commissioned to do something for the Lord, and then he had denied the Lord. And then in John 21, the Lord comes to him and he says, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these?" And he said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." And he said to him, "Feed my lambs." And we won't go through the whole story, but we find out that Peter had a second chance. He was restored to the Lord. He was used of God. And that's why I've been able to quote from his epistle today, "Having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever." And friend, I hope that today is a day of hope for you, a day of new beginnings, of new life, and if you need it, a day of a second chance spiritually. Our Heavenly Father, we pray for thy blessing upon all who are listening today. We pray for thy blessing upon thy word. We thank thee for thy salvation in our Savior's name. Amen. Now, our mailing address is Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. My website address is bdcministries.faithweb.com, bdcministries.faithweb.com, and we do thank you for listening.